and welcome to ABW Live. How are we all? Tell you what, yeah, we're not as professional as we should be today. But let's have a look at the chat box straight away. We've got Alonzo Spencer, we've got Jay Rob, Kyle Sondi, Joshua Page, Thomas from Norway, Gunner 93, Simon Way, Green LP 84, The Robots Will Eat You. Oh, hello. Ooh, tell us, Simon Way is going a bit harsh there. Daryl Kane, Gunner 93. Oh, Gunataj is there. Junior Gunner's there. I haven't seen you for a while. Hiya, pal. The Lord Hillwood is there. Alan Craker's there. Hello. How are you, everyone? Right, today I'm joined by, he's the boy wonder from down under. It's Aussie Dom. Say hello, Dom.
You didn't set me up. I'll let you do that with John. You didn't get the memo, Jace. We got a bit of headwear going on.
Sorry, pal. Sorry, mate.
We'll have to get you one. I think you'd look good in one.
A mask, I've been told.
You just pull it all the way.
All the way over. You okay?
Yeah, not too bad. We purposely embargoed ourselves from talking about the game before we hit the live button, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did today. Normally, there's a 10-minute chat before we go live, but we've stopped it today. Also, I'm joined by the Crab Man. It's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John.
Hey! Hey! There it is.
I need a drum roll or something. Was it? Bada-bing, bada-boom. You okay, pal?
Yeah, I'm good. Bit like Dom as well. Not great in terms of the game and stuff, but obviously we'll get into that. But yeah, otherwise pretty good. Just annoying, yet again, another international break now. Ugh. Can't wait until they're all out of the way.
Thank God.
Is there another one?
I can't go through that again next week, honestly. And then, yes, right, let's get into it. Okay, so before we go into the game, guys, just a quick shout out to Ellis Mel, who's doing Movember. Obviously, it's about men's health and about men's well-being. He's growing facial hair for it. He's about the only one of us who can, apart from John and Dan. But yeah, you know, if you want to support or if you're doing something similar, please tweet us. We'll retweet it. We want to raise as much awareness as possible. And to be fair to Ellis, you know, he's got kind of personal experience with these sort of things, being a nurse and what have you, and he's doing a good job at it. So quick shout out to him. And as I say, any of you doing Movember or, you know, just growing the tashes, retweet us, we'll retweet it and go from there. On a more somber note, today is Remembrance Sunday in the UK, and I think it's all over the Commonwealth, and you've got Armistice Day all over the world. He had a minute's silence before every Premier League game this weekend to mark those who've lost their lives in war. And, you know, I hate the term fighting for your freedom, but that's... and those who on all sides, you know, our thoughts are with everyone. It's something that, you know, everybody respects, which is really nice. And those who don't respect it, well, more fool them. It shows their mentality. On to the game. John. Lineups pretty much as expected. What do you think?
Yeah, I was happy to see Iwobi come back into the team. I think the form he's been in, he deserved to take the place of Mkhitaryan, who we've discussed on the last few games has been a bit hit and miss with his form, hot and cold during the games and in between games as well. So the only worry I had was the fact he was playing from the right hand side, where he hasn't shined as well. We've seen how good he is from the left, but from the right, it's not as great. Disappointing Monreal's still not available. Just that kind of thing. And also, I thought it was interesting that Socrates is still on the bench. And it seems like Holding is keeping his position at the moment. And it's more whether it's going to be one of Mustafi or Socrates playing alongside Rob Holding, rather than Rob Holding sort of being the man coming out.
We've already got a question on that, so we'll come to that at the end of it.
Socrates has been injured.
Yeah, I just thought that, mate, you know, I didn't know whether he was definitely going to start this game. I just think it's interesting that Holding is now the sort of the consistent you're going to almost expect to see every game at the moment. Well, I mean, which is good because I think he's done very well, but you know, and certainly earned his place, which is impressive for such a young kid.
Yeah, he's done okay, hasn't he, to be fair to him. There are a couple of points there I was a bit worried, but he's strong, he stands up tall, he's showing his potential, to be fair to him. It's really nice to see. Dom, yeah, we started really slowly, didn't we? We really started slowly. It was almost as if, you know, we hadn't had a warm-up.
That was, you know, coming off the back of the Liverpool performance where we did start very quickly, and then we had the Sporting game where we were sort of reverting back to that slow kind of possession-based sideways football. It was always going to be interesting to see which one of those Arsenals came out. Unfortunately, it was the latter. But, you know, I think we need to spend a few minutes talking about Wolves and how they set up, because that is a big part of the reason that things went the way they did. You know, they overcrowded the midfield. We didn't win that midfield battle for most of that game. They outworked us in that midfield. And then it's probably a very good reason why Iwobi and Ozil and Aubameyang really didn't have much of an influence on the game, because they just weren't getting the ball. And if they were, it was, they had to drop deep to get it. So very tactically interesting from Wolves today. They knew exactly what they were doing.
I wouldn't disagree with you, but John, I felt Wolves worked harder than us. Okay, I didn't see a great amount of movement from Ozil, Iwobi, Aubameyang for Torreira and Xhaka. Yes, they were being pressured by Wolves, but their options were minimal. You know, there was nobody running into space. There was nobody showing. Even after all the changes in the second half, we had a throw-in where everybody just stood there like statues.
Yeah.
And it's a problem we've seen over the years. I got to be honest with you. I thought we were gutless.
I thought second half we improved, but first half we were so poor. Just very, very slow. And I do agree with Dom, though. I do think it is credit to Wolves. They came up from the Championship, obviously. They like had this ridiculous 30-game run in the Championship and just blew everyone away. And then they sort of stumbled a little bit towards the end, but ended up winning it fairly comfortably. They're clearly a very ambitious club with the amount of money they've spent. But they're a very good team and they're very well organised. They've played that system for a long time. They know it inside out. Everyone knows their roles. You could see that when certain passes were made in key areas of the pitch, that's when they'd press. They were pressing at the right times, nicking the ball in the right areas. They could see where the turnovers, the opportunities for them were. And we just weren't bright enough to it. And I think also, playing against the back three is something you don't often do in the Premier League. I know it sort of became the fad for a while, but they do it in such a defined way. And they also really cleverly, I mean, I say cleverly, it's not that intelligent, but they clearly picked our left-hand side where Aubameyang's playing, because Kolasinac isn't going to get as much cover. Xhaka tends to be that side who is the slower of the two in our central midfield, so he's a little bit slower to get across. And let's be honest, Kolasinac's defending at times isn't great. And for him, the combination of Doherty and I'm going to have to look up the other guy.
Caballero?
Helder Costa down that side really, really troubled us and sort of stopped any development. And again, you know, credit to Wolves in the way they played and they pressed. I actually thought they were pretty poor in the second half. I mean, like, Jeremy Tino just couldn't find a pass at all. But there's this, it's this ongoing thing of us finding balance in the team and the issue of, can you really play Aubameyang, Lacazette and Ozil? Do you get the balance correctly? Are you going to get the width you need from fullbacks? That kind of ongoing issue that we've got in the team. Like, I love Aubameyang and his goal record at the moment is amazing and everything else.
Okay. Let's move on from that then. Mm. But, you know, Dom, we played, other than Mkhitaryan for Iwobi, we played this exact same team against Liverpool. And the two contrasting performances are poles apart. You know.
Yeah, so I don't want to... You are right. You are 100% right. We did not work hard enough. And there must be some psychological aspect of when Liverpool turn up to play, you know you're going to be in for a high-intense game. And let's be honest that... There's no way anyone can play 38 games in that intensity for a full season, because that was frantic, that Liverpool game, which brings me on to my point of they gave us space, both teams in that game. It was a more open game because both teams were pressing to try and attack quickly. So you're going to have spaces all over the pitch that you can exploit. Wolves weren't interested in doing that. They had 29% of possession for the first half. They sat back. They got back very quickly to defend. Every time we did get the ball, we didn't have any width to overlap to get in behind. And they were winning the midfield battle by having that back three and being able to pack that midfield. So tactically, it's like couldn't be more different, those two games. And that's been our issue this season, is those teams that sit back and don't give us the space. Ozil needs to figure out some way of being effective when teams come to sit. That's a big, big part of an issue that I think attacking-wise, when teams come to just park the bus, so to speak. But don't get me wrong, Wolves didn't just park the bus with no intent. They were doing it very specifically. They were still launching attacks and still causing us a lot of issues. So it was more so the fact that those two games, when you look at the teams and their ambition, it was quite different.
Yeah, you know, I thought in possession, Wolves are superb. What's the guy's name? What's the manager's name?
Nuno Espirito Santo.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good beard.
Yeah, superb beard.
As far usual, another man with a beard better than me.
Yeah. Well, most of them have, don't they? Even Ellis has now. Even Ellis is outshining you. I thought he won the tactical battle hands down first half. They put a number on us. Let's go straight to their goal, John. Talk me through it.
I'm not sure what Jack is doing, to be honest. Gets the ball from, was it Kolasinac, wasn't it? Passes it back into him.
Yeah, Koller passes it back.
Yeah, it's onto his right foot, but he doesn't even go to control it. He look, you know, as the ball's
it's
coming,
like he's leaving it on purpose.
He leaves the ball as if he's expecting Torreira to be there, or maybe Mustafi stepped up or something like that. And he leaves the ball and looks and then realizes that no one's there. Now, I don't know if he got a shout. If you did get a shout, I don't know why someone did. If it was one of the Wolves players, you're not supposed to do that, but, you know, very clever. But I just think I just think he's there thinking that Torreira is going to be next to him or Mustafi's pushed up. And then from that point, we're all at sea. Torreira's too far ahead of the game to get back in time.
Well, you're not expecting to have to defend from that, are you? Really?
No, Xhaka's a yard off, when they're straight in our defence. He carries the ball well, lays it off, and it's a decent finish. Xhaka tries his hardest to get back. He just didn't quite have the pace. He came in, you know.
He hasn't got the mobility. Let's be fair.
He's second too slow.
He can't change his shape.
His awareness, though, on the pitch should be better. He's so much.
He's got to not try and do anything tricky in that area. That's the thing.
I mean, the thing is, though, it's not like it's on the edge of our box. You know, it's near enough on the halfway line.
We're coming back, okay? We're playing back. We've got possession. We're playing back towards our own goal. So they are on the front foot anyway.
Yeah. But you know at that point there's no one in behind you to help clean up.
There's not an Arsenal player within 15 yards of him.
Yeah.
And
he's got to be. Yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending Xhaka at all.
No, I know you're not. But my point would be, okay, it's not the first goal he's cost us this season, okay, through shoddy play. Okay, and I really like Xhaka. I really do. Okay, you know, my big issue here is, okay, where's your fucking game awareness?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, you're captain of effing Switzerland, right? Mm. And you're allowing that ball when they're on the front foot heading towards your goal. You're allowing them a free effort, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's you can't defend it. It's stupid. I guarantee he would have been in there at halftime apologising to his teammates. It wouldn't surprise me if he says something about it in maybe a post-match interview, you know, because he's that kind of guy. It doesn't change anything on the pitch, obviously. It doesn't change the result in the end.
I don't know about you guys, but the frustration for me is when you see him play like he did against Liverpool and then you see moments like that. It's the same for Mustafi. Mustafi can have these games where you just look and think, you know, if you didn't watch anything else but that one game, you'd think he's one of the best defenders in the world. And then he goes sliding around and giving away stupid free kicks or penalties.
I think if you look at Xhaka, the rest of his performance in that match, I don't think he really did anything wrong. He made some really good tackles. No, he made some amazing passes and crosses and stuff and got in some really good positions and trying to affect play.
I gotta be honest with you, I didn't think much of his performance first half whatsoever. I thought second half he improved massively. Okay, but with the change of shape we had, I think, you know, we've been, you know, tactically we've been done by Nuno, right? But I think Xhaka had a poor first half. They got outnumbered, but to allow that ball into space when you know when you're going backwards towards goal, you know, he's going backwards, Jace.
The ball's going square. It's not going backwards, is it? Come on.
Yeah, no, but we as a team are going backwards. We as a team are playing backwards.
We're rebuilding again. Kolasinac's gone out to the left. Kolasinac, so there's no option forwards. Okay, so you come back.
But you know, they take that. Yeah, Caballero takes that on the front foot. Okay, he's going there. Dom, what were your thoughts on it? You know, we gave them a goal.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't really see an argument as to anything else other than a brain fade from Xhaka. The Kolasinac pass was fine. It wasn't difficult. It wasn't hard. It wasn't, you know, it was, he just stepped over it as if he was leaving it for someone else. And that, like you said, is just that game awareness. For whatever reason, he let the ball go. I want to know what you guys think. Is, you know, a lot of the chat box at the moment are, you know, questioning whether Xhaka is good enough to be a top four in a top four team. I just want to point out really quickly that the Liverpool midfield that everyone raves about, Torreira and Xhaka together dominated that game in midfield. What are your thoughts? Do you think he's just not got the quality, or?
No, I don't think it's... Sorry, Jace. I don't think it's Xhaka as a whole. Players make mistakes in games.
Yeah.
I think his ones are highlighted more than others. Maybe I think that because I'm a bit of a Xhaka fanboy, but then I'm sure there's people who are big Arsenal fans who are, you know, have got their own favourites in the team and get annoyed when a certain player gets picked out. What I'd say is that he had zero help really today, and he wasn't the only one who was poor in the team today. Unfortunately, his one mistake did lead to a goal, but you've also got to credit Wolves with the fact that they pressed at the right times and they pounced on those opportunities. There's been plenty of other games where it's been Xhaka or it's been Torreira, who everyone raves about, or it's been Ramsey or Ozil or whatever, who's given the ball away. Teams have broken us and they haven't taken the chance. The difference is today, you know, Wolves did. And let's be honest, if it wasn't for some really good saves from Leno, we wouldn't have got a point from today. It would have been a lot worse and probably deserved. I think Xhaka's got the capability. I just think, you know, he had a slip today. And I think also, I genuinely think the players as well, they weren't really sure what to do in the first half, because like Jay said, I think we were just outplayed. And I just think Wolves got our number perfect in the first half of the game.
I think, like, you know, you look at Xhaka's performance against Liverpool. He was brilliant, okay. He was really top notch, okay. But you can't change his makeup. You know, he is the size he is. He put in a cross end of the second half to Hector, where Hector blasted over. We should have scored. And as he was moving towards the touchline, I thought, oh, he's trundling along. You know, he's not nimble, he's not mobile, he's never gonna be those things. He'll put the effort in up and down the park, okay, but he is the size he is. His feet aren't gonna get any quicker.
So here's something I want to touch on, Jace.
But give me a second. But that's his big problem, is he hasn't really got quick feet. Like, you know, people talk to Santi and his quick feet. He hasn't got that. He's got a wonderful passing range, okay. But it's that side of it. He is what he is, and we have to find a way of making life easier for him. Because if you haven't got that mobility, there's not much you can do about it. Okay, but concentration level wise, he has to improve. Some things like this. Okay, you know, that was schoolboy what he did there. That was absolute schoolboy. And it is, you know, it's his fault. But, you know, end of story.
So touching on that, Jay, schoolboy error. I just feel like I'm not trying to deflect blame. I'm just trying to give a little bit of perspective. Xhaka is in a position of the pitch that if he makes an error, it gets highlighted. We've just spent 5 minutes talking about it. I wonder how many people are going to be talking about Aubameyang's miss, because that was schoolboy error too.
Absolutely. You know, and that cost
us a goal in a different way, but we're not going to be talking about it like we are criticising Xhaka.
I agree with you there. And I would also, you know, back up John's point that I'll be honest with you, the movement up ahead of him, I thought Ozil was a passenger today. It will be at a horror show. Aubameyang did little in the game. Very, very little, okay? You know, there was nobody with any decent performances up ahead of him, you know? So it's one of those things. But when you are playing that position, those are the breaks. A bit like you guys and Mustafi, okay? You know, when he goes to ground and makes those silly decisions, which, you know, they are silly decisions, that's the position he plays. If he wants to get out of jail free card, he needs to move further up the park, but he's not going to do that. And that was a shocker from him. And, you know, it's a shame. I like the guy. I got a lot of time for him. His passing range, and as we've spoken about before, you know, the way he hits a ball is wondrous at times. But I think that's only half the game, isn't it? That's only half the game.
The thing is, Jace, if Wolves had taken, not scored from that and scored from one of the other chances, you're not talking about that. You're not talking about Xhaka as the individual. You're talking about the whole team and their overall performance. And to be honest, I think Leno's probably the only one who comes out of that game today with sort of.
I thought Torreira was good.
He was okay. I still thought he he misplaced
in a midfield that we got dominated in. I still thought that he was still quite good.
I thought second half we improved, obviously, but I also thought Wolves' performance dropped off massively. But I don't think anyone was particularly amazing today. The issue was complete lack of creative chances. That's, you know. Yeah, I mean, our best two chances, one fell to Bellerin and the other one Aubameyang, you know, has got to do better with. Let's be honest.
To be fair, if you look at the back four, I thought the back four were okay today. Kolasinac, you know.
No, I would not say.
Can we touch on Monreal missing? How big of an impact do you think that's had? Because a lot of home games last season where we had these struggles against teams sitting, he was a really good outlet for us, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the way he plays the ball, isn't it? You know, it's his basic skill level and his mobility to get up and down. Whereas he hasn't got pace, he's got good game awareness, and he manages that side very well, and his interplay is excellent.
I mean, he can defend better than Kolasinac. It's just the big difference. Kolasinac isn't a left back. He just doesn't look like a left back to me at all.
If you look at the end result of today, you know, we got caught by that, by turning the ball over in our own half, deep in our own half, and we couldn't recover. And they played well to earn that goal, to be fair. Mm. From the point Caballero gets the ball, he does very well. Instead of taking an early shot, he passes out to Costa. Good cross, does well. But we're caught on the back foot.
Again, and it comes to good positioning from them, though, pressing at the right time. The way they did that in the first half in particular was really impressive.
Absolutely. And I don't think, you know, it's, you know, whilst Xhaka is to blame for the goal, you know, you can't get away from that. You know, there's a lot of other, he's got a lot of friends in that team who were poor today, you know, and it's,
well, we didn't have a shot on target for the first half. They had three, and they only needed 29% of the ball to be able to get three shots on our goal.
Yeah,
and that was a big issue.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Okay, I thought, you know, yes, they had a few chances, and end of the second half when they hit the post, etc. You know, I thought we'd managed them okay, but you know, it was one of those where I thought we offered nothing going forward, you know, absolutely zero going forward. We turned the ball over, I think Xhaka turned the ball over 12 times in the first half. I think Iwobi wasn't far behind. Aubameyang wasn't even in position to get the ball. And I thought Ozil, whoa, Yvonne. Oh, Yvonne Okorfa. Thank you very much. Yvonne's just donated a couple of quid again. Every bloody show. You're an absolute rock star, Yvonne. Well done, Leno. Should have lost. You're correct as well. Yvonne, you're an absolute rock star. Chat box, say hello to Yvonne and give her some love, please. Let's get going. Thank you. You know, we didn't even look like creating a good chance, did we, John?
Yeah, that was... it was disappointing because I just thought that, you know, playing against the back three, I thought Aubameyang's maybe going to stretch him a little bit. Lacazette can occupy two defenders easily, you know, and Iwobi playing from the right tends to come inside. So it's going to disrupt their shape a little bit. I thought Ozil would find more space, but just it didn't really happen. He was playing sort of that inside left channel quite a bit, but there wasn't a final ball. There wasn't, you know, the movement wasn't quite there. His link up with Kolasinac outside him, you know, they didn't seem to be on quite the same wavelength. Iwobi, I thought, was okay when he was getting it. He was driving forwards. He had one where he didn't really have anywhere else to go and he just sort of drived into the box, but it ultimately led to nothing.
How much of an issue is our right-hand side, that wing spot?
What confuses for me is Iwobi clearly doesn't work that well on the right-hand side. You know, he's had a very good season, I think, starts the season, and he's much improved. His attitude's so much better and everything, and, you know, everyone's talked about it. But he's clearly much better from the left. The issue then comes is, well, can Aubameyang play on the right? Well, yes, he can. But should he be playing on either wing anyway, is the real question.
Yeah, but the problem we got, Aubameyang hasn't scored all those goals from the right-hand side.
Okay. No, but he hasn't necessarily.
And when you look at contribution, okay, and those goals, right? He's scoring all those goals coming in from the left. Okay, we haven't made that work today, have we? You know, nobody's running into channels.
You've also got to look a lot of those. So all the goals he scored for the month, because he won the Player of the Month award, which wound up that ginger tit, which was funny. Don't wait, people. Don't retweet him. Don't respond. It's just. Anyway, it made me laugh. I really hope the club ban him because he went after the club and not the fans, which was stupid. But he only started one of those games. All those other goals he scored, he came on as a sub.
Yeah.
He's coming on late, he's impacting, he's got the pace, defenders are tired and everything else. He's not starting the games. Now, yes, I know he's coming on and a lot of the time he's playing from the left. I don't know exactly how many of those games he was playing from the left. I think one, maybe two, he might have gone into the middle. Or maybe we changed the system slightly and went two up top like we did today for the second half. But the difference is he's not starting the games. And look, I love Aubameyang and his contribution is amazing and his goals per minute ratio is ridiculous. Simple fact is he's not a left winger. He's a striker. And at some point, you have to decide in games, look, there are certain matchups where you cannot afford to play a guy out of position, and you have to, someone in the team has to make a sacrifice, and that's down to the managers to make. Now, if it's Lacazette who has to go out of the team and Aubameyang starts up front, then fine. If it means Aubameyang has to come off the bench to score goals, which has been working fine, then you do that. If it means Ozil has to come out of the team and you have to get sort of more hardworking, you know, not so much flair, but more about getting up and down the pitch kind of players to allow Aubameyang to start, then you have to do that. And it's down to the managers to balance that. And I think today the problem was, I think, that first half, Emery didn't get it quite right and didn't understand Wolves enough and what they can do and what they're capable of. I think his decisions and the change of shape in the second half was good. But it was all a little bit too late at that time. You know, I also think this was the first game where the players looked... They didn't look like they did in others. They looked a bit frustrated today. Not quite head dropping, like we've seen in past seasons, but there didn't seem to be that same belief, you know, that they could go on, get back into the game and win it.
But then again, that right-hand side's still going to be an issue. If you take out Aubameyang and or Lacazette and only play one of them and you put Iwobi on the left, then we've still got this issue on the right where we're still sticking a midfielder out there.
I mean...
Well, there's Mkhitaryan there, isn't there?
I mean, yeah, but he's not going to give you that same drive in behind threat.
But there's nobody else, okay?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, is it's an issue that position on the pitch seems to be a problem issue for us. Because we're expecting Hector Bellerin to do all the attacking.
Yeah.
At least the Mkhitaryan, the link-up play is better. Okay, that's the one thing about Mkhitaryan. His linker play is better. Okay, and we can only use what we have. And anyways, I want to move on from that, guys, and I want to talk about Leno. Okay, he saved from Raul, who chucked the boot in. Do you think he had every right to go for that, John?
Yeah, I think the ball's there. to be won. And you, when you look at, when you look back in slow motion and replays and stuff, it looks awful. But when you're at full speed and stuff, it's so hard to stop. You can't just pull out things. And the other thing as well is, if you ever, even if it's a goalkeeper, if you pull out of a challenge like halfway through or going to kick a ball or anything, you're so much more likely to get yourself injured. It always happens in like 50-50 challenges, which I know is different. But if you pull out halfway through, then you're the one who's going to come off worse. You've got to go in to go and win the ball. And, you know, brave, fair play, Leno. You know, I think he didn't look like he was too, you know, like angry with Raul Jimenez. I think they got up and they had a little chat after it, and he was like, yeah, okay, fair enough. You know, shook hands and that. So I think it's fair ball to play, fair ball to go for. But yeah, well done, Leno, for getting down and putting your face in there and your body on your line. But that's what you've got to do as a goalkeeper sometimes.
Absolutely. So Dom, Leno showed his bravery there. There were a number of other saves in the first half. He's winning that number one spot, isn't he? No ifs, no buts.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can eat, like, again, eat one little mistake from a player that's anywhere along the back five, including, you know, the keeper, and it gets highlighted, and we'll speak about it for 10 minutes after the game. Like I said, you know, a striker misses a chance that they should bury, and it kind of goes under the rug a little bit. But for me, Leno today was the reason that we got anything out of that game. I think, you know, you start to think, well, would Petacek have been able to do the same kind of things? And maybe, but I wouldn't be confident. What I saw from Leno today, he was very quick to get down. He always made the right decisions. I thought he was excellent. And his distribution is obviously a lot better. You know, you never feel, or I don't feel nervous when we back pass the ball to him, like I sometimes do with Petacek. But I think I've been, so far, and it's very early still, pleasantly pretty surprised with Leno. I didn't think that he was going to be able to do what he's done so far, if that makes sense. I was a bit more skeptical, but yes, so far being pleasantly proved wrong.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's been positive. You know, he's gonna have a ricket in him sooner or later, because all keepers do, but
especially when you play the way we're playing with keepers, it's going to happen. We need to understand, like, I've seen Edison do it. You know, you see the best keepers in the world, like Neuer does it. We always talk about don't go full Neuer. It's a result of being that modern age keeper, isn't it? You're going to be put under more pressure. You take more risks. You kind of, it's almost like you got to know that you're signing up for that.
No, absolutely. And you know, I think it's a great credit to him. He came in, you know, halfway through a game and an injury. There'd been lots of sort of, you know, hypotheses as to why he hadn't played up until that point in the Premier League. And since he's had his chance, he's taken it both hands and not looked back. It's really, really good to see. John, kind of, you know, there was more Wolves pressure. We did have a bit of a reaction to the goal, but nothing serious. Your view in the first half, mate?
I thought Wolves outplayed us. They were smart, sat back where they needed to, pressed and nicked the ball in good turnover spots, particularly, you know, trying to target when the fullbacks had pushed up. So for Bellerin and Kolasinac, they were really, really keen to turn the ball over then and try and exploit into that space. I thought we were really struggling to deal with Helder Costa. The midfield battle, we weren't really winning. You know, they were getting extra men in there to help out, and we just really weren't creating. You know, I thought our playing around the back and everything was okay, and I thought defensively we were, you know, seemed all right, you know, but just, I always worried that on the break they were going to catch us. Yeah.
I'm Dom.
Like I said, the issue after conceding that goal was the fact that it wasn't against the run of play. You know, we weren't knocking the door down consistently where you thought, oh, look, that's okay. We've been creating a lot of chances, and yeah, we got caught out, but we'll be all right. For me, I thought this is going to be a very difficult game to score one, let alone two. So what about you? Do you think this is just a bit of a reality check for the team and us as fans, where we've had that run of games, and we spoke about it during, where we were getting lucky. You know, there were some performances in there that probably flattered to deceive. The Liverpool game was amazing, so we were on a high from that. Is this a bit of a reality check that we're going to be in for a season of ups and downs?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, as much as the Liverpool performance is the performance I've been waiting for to see from us, I think today we kind of showed this is where we are. It's a bit of a roller coaster time. I thought the first half was pitiful. I thought we were gutless at times. I didn't see enough work rate from the guys further up the pitch. I thought sort of Iwobi had a tough time at the office. Obviously, being on the right doesn't suit him as much as being on the left. You know, he still kept on going, which was nice to see. But you know, we kind of revert to the old thing of whenever under Arsene our movement was poor, the display was all poor, the performance is poor. And again today, and it's kind of a rule of football, isn't it? You know, I'm looking at sort of the likes of Ozil and Aubameyang, and I'm getting very frustrated because you know what they can do. But today was just rotten from the
player. We just weren't getting the ball there quickly enough, were we? Let them do anything.
But they're not moving into space. They're not working hard enough, in my opinion. Now, I may be wrong, you know. It won't be the first time I'm wrong. But it's a recurring theme. You know, we've seen it in the first half of other games. Then we put it right in the second half. I just think, you know, okay, you know, you can have a go at Xhaka, you can have a go at Torreira, whatever. You know, we got outnumbered in midfield. But if you haven't got the options available to you, then you're fighting a losing battle. So that's where I kind of stand in it at the moment. I'm frustrated, but you know, we are where we are. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, yeah. Second half.
Yeah. Second half. Okay, so it will be gets hooked for Guendouzi, and we move into the diamond formation, John. We start to get on top of the game more, but it's not a kind of instant reaction. You know, we have to work for it because we didn't get a shot on target until the 59th minute.
Yeah, it was an instant response, second half Arsenal, like we've seen in other games. The change made sense because we were struggling in midfield. We got two up top, which, you know, I think a lot of people have wanted to see, and I understood that because we're playing against the back three that can go to a five, so you need to try and find the spaces, and if you've got two men to mark, it's harder to do than one. The only problem I have with that formation is that it does kind of signal out that, like, Ozil is the man who's going to try and create everything. In the end, it actually meant that Wolves kind of concentrated on him too much and it freed up other people, so it did work. I do think Wolves' performance drops quite a bit in the second half. Like, their midfield, just like Moutinho couldn't find a pass at all. He looked like the player that Tottenham wanted to buy in the second half performance, to be honest, the way he was pinging the ball out for a throw in every like 2 minutes. just throw that one in there. But yeah, it was better. But again, a lot of it was coming from, and I don't have a problem with this, but a lot of it was coming from crosses. We weren't getting our fullbacks to the byline. It was midfield runners getting to the byline, like Guendouzi or Xhaka and stuff like that. So you could see that lack of width and penetration that we had from the fullbacks in the first half. We were still essentially trying to do the same thing that you've seen in other games. We were just having to get other players to do it and make those runs. I wasn't convinced that we were going to score, despite all the possession we had and how much we were sort of passing it around their box, because, you know, Wolves haven't conceded that. I think they've conceded less goals than us this season. They got a 1-1 with City, you know.
Their defensive record's been really good, yeah.
Yeah, I think they tend to concede less away from home than at home, which is slightly odd, but, you know, it just shows that they're a bit more stout and defensive-minded when they do play away from home, which I kind of get. So I wasn't overly convinced because, to be honest, we hadn't seen Lacazette or Aubameyang in the game, really. You know, that. Not necessarily to knock Lacazette, but he hadn't really touched the ball because they hadn't got the ball to him.
It's that kind of thing, you know, where we really struggled when we entered the final third of the pitch, Dom, and it kind of worries me, you know. Okay, so you get your width from Kolasinac and from Hector, but the interplay between on both flanks wasn't great. You know, it's almost, you know, Ozil was a bit of a passenger today, in my opinion. Lacazette keeps on coming deep. He keeps on running around. He keeps on working hard, doing the things he normally does. But, you know, for him and Ozil, it's a bit pointless if we're not getting the ball or getting the movement going. And even though we had more pressure coming to the second half, we looked like we had more, you know, we'd improved. We weren't really converting it, were we?
No, I mean, slightly off topic. I had the Man City, Man United game on to the side at the same time. And what you notice with Man City is that the tactical element of their attacking play is to target an area, overload that area, and just consistently just tap the ball around each other and make sure you've got an overlapping man and you're going to find space against anybody. And because Man City come up against teams like Wolves and they sit back and defend, and yes, they got a 1-1 draw, but you just saw how they recycle their attacking play over and over again to constantly be having a threat. And I just feel like, yes, it's not fair to compare us against them, obviously, but it didn't seem to me that we had any kind of systematic approach to our attacking play. There was just a lot of sideways waiting for something to happen. You know, it didn't seem to me like we were targeting an area, that we were doing something consistently to try and get it to work. It was just a lot of sideways stuff. And it just seemed like the midfielders and defenders are kind of looking up, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. It did. You know, there were no runners into space. There was nothing. There was no cohesive sort of plan. We looked all at sea. Yvonne, take care. Have a nice time. All the best. Thank you for turning up. How's the rest of you? There's 237 of you watching right now. 237. I haven't even got 50 likes. You can moan about this game all you want, but your performance is equally as bad. Equally as bad. Who do you think you are? You come into the chat box, you all like to, you know, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go about this, I'm going to go about that, but where's my likes? Come on, tappy, tappy, let's get going. Don't be like the Arsenal. Be better than the Arsenal. Give me some likes. It's unbelievable. It's just wrong. Thunder Road. That's Remembrance Day Parade, mate. Remembrance Day Parade. Keep your gob shut and start tapping that like button. You give it all gob all the time, Thunder Road, but no. You're not getting the like button enough, are you? Get on with it. Now, 18 now, please. Let's get going. Thank you very much. John, I'm going to burst out laughing one of these days at that. I can't keep a straight face anymore. Oh, yeah. Quick shout out to Danny, the GFP's nephew, Max. As Max would say, tappy, tappy. Let's get going. We have a first effort on goal from Torreira in the 59th minute. My God, I couldn't believe my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, I can't remember any goals he scored for Samp last season. It wasn't a ton, but he really can rocket a ball. You know, I mean, it gets to that point of the game. I think the commentary I had, they said, if you're not creating chances, sometimes you just got to take a chance. You know, just what's the old saying? You don't win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket or whatever it is they say. Yeah, you know, and he hits it really clean, really well. Unfortunately, he's a little bit too central when, you know, Patricia can deal with it. But if you're Wolves, from their point of view, and you're limiting Arsenal to chances like that, then, you know, you're very, very happy because you can block them, or you know, rely on your keeper to save them and stuff. And unless it's a weldy, in the majority of cases, you're not going to score. So it was nice to have a shot on target, and it's nice to know we've got players who will take a chance, you know. Xhaka can do it as well, and you know, we've seen Aubameyang, Lacazette, they've all got that in them. I don't mind him doing that as the game goes on. I think it's fine. Just it's so weird, it's a home game and that's like our first effort, you know.
Yeah, it was frustrating, and to sum up the frustration of it, Ozil picks up a yellow card for throwing the ball to the ground. When a decision goes against us, that kind of summed up his game and the team's game as a whole, didn't it, up this point?
Yeah, I don't mind seeing that, though, to be honest, from him, rather than the whole head down or, you know, that kind of thing. Get a little bit of aggression in there, a little bit frustrated. Getting a yellow for it's a little bit, you know, a bit over the top perhaps. But, yeah, that was just probably... He's not silly. He knows when things aren't working or where he's not playing well or if he's not being able to get influential. And the least that you want is that he's frustrated that it's not working rather than being happy to just watch the game slide by. So, I think that summed up the whole team, though, didn't it? That was probably more of an outlet as just in terms of how things were going as a whole.
Absolutely, absolutely. Quick shout out, then. We've had a bit of a tweet on Twitter, as it would happen. Jamie, @J_J_Gunner. Hi, chaps. I'm a long-time listener and love the show. I listen to every show. I'm new to Twitter. Need some help getting some followers. Any chance I can get a shout-out? J_J_Gunner. There's your shout-out, fella. If I haven't had a like for that, I'm going to hunt you down. There is no hiding place.
I've already retweeted that, too, so he better be... Speaking of which, Jace, if anyone's new to the show and hasn't seen us before, rambling on, pop your name in the chat box and let everyone know that you're new so everyone can say hi and give you a little welcome.
Absolutely, absolutely. Say hello. You know, it's all about having a laugh here, even though we're talking nonsense today, aren't we? You know, it's just one of those games where it kind of reminds me of last season. You know, it did feel
a little postmodern Wenger today. I did. I was waiting for the the tweets of "We've got our Arsenal back." I was waiting for them. I mean, the funny thing was as well, we even got the old crowd back for like little periods in the game. I thought they were actually quite good today, and they kept singing and trying to cheer the team on, and they were all after the ref and everything. But it did get a bit pantomime for a. Quick boo, whistle, get that goalkeeper booked. He's time wasting when all he's done is pick the ball up and he's put it down and taken one step back. He's wasting time and the referee's against us and booing any player who misplaces a pass and everything. So, yeah. You've got to look at the funny side when you can.
It was frustrating, wasn't it? It was just one of those. John Bellerin fires over. Jacques,
yeah, I was just going to say that was another one of those. Yeah, this is about what this game is, you know. And and I think the difference is we've had performances probably not that bad during that winning run, but close to it. Performances that we were, you know, at our best by any means. That goes in, you know. And then the Aubameyang chance goes in. All of a sudden, we're 2-1 up and we win the game and we think everything's fine. But when I saw that sneak over the bar, and then obviously we'll get on to Aubameyang's miss as well, but it just felt like that was about what was going to happen. You know, it just didn't feel today like there was going to be this revival at any point.
Yeah, it was so...
It was a decent effort. But at the same time, like... Again, it was like the one the other week, wasn't it, against Liverpool? You give it to anyone with the left foot and that's probably going in. That's the frustrating part.
Am I being overly critical in that why can't Bellerin let that go across his body and hit it with his right foot? Is that
I think it was a little bit behind him. I think I don't know that it was... Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I have to look at it again, but I feel like it might have been not quite in the path to do it. He would have had to kind of step back and then...
Yeah. Like, I understand why he hit it with his left foot, and I'm not going to blame him necessarily for missing with his left. I'd have to see it again. I just wonder if that's like too much of a... It's a weird thing to let it roll across your body like that. And then
It was a Xhaka cross, so it's probably behind him.
Oh, there we go. That was one of the best creative chances we had in the game. I was waiting for someone to make a comment in our WhatsApp group. I was gonna poke the bears in there and just go, oh, no one complimenting Xhaka for that really good pull back there, like spot on for something. No, okay.
to be fair, okay, he trundled up the byline, and I thought, oh, he's not going to get to it, and he did, and I thought, well, fair play to you, Granit. You know, you've done well there.
Oh, Granit, you know, caught Mo Salah the other week and you were cheering him on then, so.
Oh, that was wonderful. Yeah, no, look, you know, I like Xhaka, okay? It's just, it's, you know, certain things in his game which he hasn't improved upon since he's been here frustrate me, you know, and that's with all players, to be fair. Yeah. It's not just him. But, you know, there have been but three or four times this season, there's a couple of goals he's cost us. But he did really well there. And, you know, credit to him. John Doherty, or who did he clump with his elbow?
Was it Jack? It might have been Xhaka, actually. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Might have been Xhaka. Goes up for a header, yeah. Leads with his elbow. He leads with his elbow.
It's not out like that, card. Jace. His arm's out straight. He's not going in flying. He's not going in on back style.
It was forearm, if anything. It was forearm.
So you led with his forearm. Okay. I thought the rule was, now you lead with your arm, it's a red card.
No, I think it's down to referee's interpretation of the intention of the challenge. Look, he's gone to win the ball. I'm yet to see a footballer who can jump in the air, you know, or in a forward movement without putting his arms out.
That didn't look good in slow-mo, though, to be honest.
How many things look good in slow-mo? Not a lot.
Can I just point out to you, this is an Arsenal podcast, not a fucking Let's Be Fair to Everyone podcast, okay? Let's have a bit of biasness. I've only got one eye I use at times.
Look, I thought the yellow card was fine, you know. I don't think it was a red. I don't think that was intentional. Okay, and if anything, the only intentional elbow on the day seemed to be his teammate who did him later on and cut his eye up.
I got to be honest with you, at that point, I did laugh. yeah, good enough, you twat. Sorry. okay, both of you now, miss of the day. Hector puts in a great cross for Aubameyang and he hits the post. I mean...
Oh, can we talk about the build-up before that? Sorry. A certain Welsh bloke came on. There was a substitution before that.
No, that was afterwards.
Rambo comes on for Mesut.
Carry on.
Which, you know, I thought was interesting. Good. I like the fact that Emery's like, yeah, okay, you're not playing well enough, Mesut. You're coming off. Brings Ramzo on. Rambo on. God, dear. Rambi Bambi. Yeah. So Ramsey comes on and...
For Kolasinac.
Yeah, and I thought there was a couple of little things he did, but he makes that run in behind and he tried the outside of the boot sort of flick thing because it was the only way he could get onto it. It was a decent block and it's from that corner, from that resulting play. That was the first time...
Right, we're talking about the Aubameyang.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying. But that was the first time that we'd got in behind their defence and had a runner clearing behind them. And anyone do that? Yeah. And the fact that you think that, then you have a very quick corner, which then leads to the Aubameyang chance. I just thought, as much as people hate Rambo, you know, I've got to stop saying Rambo because I'm going to say Rambi again. As much as everyone hates Ramsey, he's the only player who does that, who makes those runs in behind like that, that really trouble midfielders and defenders.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So in any case, Dom, can you answer my question?
So, Aubameyang miss. Yes, let's talk about that because he, you know, I see some really strange opinions in the chat box sometimes, Jace. I wonder if our fan base have been taking substances or are they in straight jackets watching the game? That would explain a lot. To say that Aubameyang's not a clinical striker is quite interesting opinion when he scored 140-odd goals in 180 games. I think you'd struggle to find too many people that don't think that he's clinical. So for him to miss that, you could even see everyone, Lacazette, Aubameyang, they were just like, you know, they finally got that moment in the game where, like John said, we got in behind and everyone did the right thing and Aubameyang's movement was perfect. All he needed to do was just get a little bit more on it, you know, and it's in the back of the net. Even the crowd already went up thinking it was going to be a goal. You know, you could hear the crowd cheering and look, at the end of the day, you watch any striker in the world, doesn't matter who they are, they're going to miss a chance like that here or there. Unfortunately, the couple of times Aubameyang's done it, because that's the second time, was he hacked one over the bar against someone. I can't remember who it was earlier in the season, but it was another one of those, would have been a very nice kind of moment to score. He gets himself in the right spot though in those types of moves, doesn't he?
He does. You know, he's always looking to do it. I mean, I think it was the first time he'd gone to that position today, but as John alluded to, we hadn't had runners coming from deeper positions up until that point. Everything was in front of the Wolves' defence. And as soon as you've got a runner going in there, it causes panic because, people get pulled out of position. And that's what we missed a lot today. There was a sense of disbelief in the crowd when it hit the post because people were celebrating already. John, at that point, I just thought, well, we don't really deserve to be drawing this game.
Mm.
But my God, I just want to put egg in these guys' faces now. I just want, as much as we don't deserve the point, we need to do something. And I felt winded after it.
The miss, I know people say, well, he hit the post, well, that counts as a miss, it's not on target. He's got to do better there, he's got to hit the target. And then the moment that doesn't go in, you're just like, right, well, that's it. We're not even getting lucky today. Which actually wasn't the case in the end. We'll obviously get to that. But if you looked at our performance throughout the game, chances created, that kind of thing. I know like Wolves end up with 25% possession, but possession doesn't mean anything if you don't do anything with it. And the difference was, absolutely, Wolves, when they had the ball, they did things with it. They created clear chances, and if it weren't for Leno and for maybe a few of their players not being as good as they could be in terms of their finishing, then Wolves probably should have come away with a win today. You know, let's be honest. If I'm a Wolves fan today, I'm leaving that game very disappointed. It's that whole thing of I don't want to, Wolves are not a small club. They're a very, very big, club. And
they're a big club, okay? But they're the new Man City, okay?
Yeah.
To spend 50 million quid in the championship, they're wonderful. No wonder they're bloody wonderful. Look at the quality player they bought, okay? Meh, screw Wolves.
But, getting a win at Arsenal, despite their history.
It's a big thing, yeah.
It's a very big thing, So, I'd be hugely disappointed.
But they didn't get one, though, did they? It's a stuff.
No, they didn't. Thanks to... is it probably going to be... I mean, up until, obviously, we play the scum, I'm going to guess it will be your favourite goal of the season, just for hilarity's sake at the moment, Jace.
Oh, I'm...
Actually, I want to hear you talk through our goal we scored today, because it's always me and Dom. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on Mkhitaryan's amazing wonder goal, completely deceived. He's done everyone in the stadium as well.
He knew what he was doing. He eyed that corner there. He snuck it over the top. He's just gone. Top bins. Check this out.
Before we go to that, another shout out to Leno. The save from Chota, superb. They've broken us. And again, Leno's big, brave. And he's my man of the match today by a magic mile. But let's go to the goal. Rui Patricio makes a great save from Ramsey, first of all. Okay. Goes out, comes across to Mkhitaryan. And I'm thinking, he's got laser precision guided missile boots. Do you know what I mean? He's picked his corner. He's put the blindfold on. And his toppings. And it's just I can't carry on. I just loved. Do you know when you're watching it, when you watch one of those goals and you just think, oh, what happened there?
Yep.
It's a cross which, whether he scuffed it, whether he's been taking lessons from Iwobi or Guendouzi, I have no idea. But to watch it fly the back of the net and to watch the reaction from the Wolves players was just a thing of beauty. I could drink their tears at that point. It was just wonderful. But I think because we've been getting runners in there, there was panic. And I was surprised at how much time Mkhitaryan had on the ball at that point, because they were not as efficient defensively as they had been. And that's bought him the time.
But we were pushing the pace a little bit too, which caused them to kind of not know how to react or get back and defend, or to be looking around at where they're supposed to be. All of a sudden there's a ball coming in. Like there's a little bit of that that I feel the last 15 minutes of the game we could have used at the start.
Yeah, but okay, so the kind of point I bring in there, okay, you know, we've had so much possession throughout the game, okay, but it's all in front of them.
Mm.
You know? Everything's in front of them. They don't need to worry because they know nobody's going to run in behind them. Okay, as soon as you have a running threat who's going to go at them, it starts pulling players out of position. When one man moves out of the shape disintegrates. Okay, that nice, strong defensive shape that they've been holding all game is now gone. And all of a sudden, players are dropping in, players are coming out. It causes panic. All the possession in the world is useless to you unless you've got runners. Okay. And, you know, for as much as people talk about, oh, we need to buy a winger, who are you going to cross it to? Because if you've got nobody running into the box, it's pointless buying a winger. It's absolutely pointless. Right? But what we did then, with the runners coming in, it buys you space on those fringes, and then it leads to things like this. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are, but at the moment, I'm looking at it and wondering, you know, boy, did we get lucky, but actually, we were piling the pressure on that point. I think we deserved a goal.
I'm not sure I'd say.
Controversial.
Well, you had the Torreira just missed, then you had the Bellerin skied it, then Aubameyang missed an absolute sitter. So I guess you could argue that there were chances coming a little bit more frequently.
Yeah, I think, again, I think, like, I'll take a point because of the way we performed. It's not what I wanted out of the game, obviously, before it. But, yeah, if I'm Wolves, I'm leaving without 3 points. I'm gutted.
Okay, bear with me a second. We've hit the post. They've hit the post. We've scored a goal. They've scored a goal. They've created, I think it's 2 or 3 good chances. We've created 2 or 3 good chances. We've played poorly. That's how why we feel like this. But actually,
I think the difference is in the quality of the chances we created. Like, Bellerin's chance is not an easy one. Aubameyang's one, he should score. Or he should at least hit the target and make the keeper make a save.
Joshua Page just put in the box. I think deserve is the wrong word, Jace.
I think the other thing I would say, Jace, is that at 1-0 up, and we're pushing them, Wolves are still creating chances. Leno's still having to make saves. At 1-1,
chasing a game, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. At 1-1, they're still creating chances.
Yeah, but we were going for a win, though.
But guys, let's be fair, okay? If they can't finish the chances they've created, boo fucking boo.
I'm not. Yeah, no. No, but I'm just saying. I think on the balance of play, you know, we got very lucky today.
Well,
I mean,
here's a question, though, John.
That Traore who came on, I mean, amazing pace when he chased down like 3 players and made Mustafi like lose the ball and whatever and win it back for him. That was ridiculous. But there was one break where he's run, he's turned, he's make, you know, see you later, Kolasinac has gone sliding past him. And thankfully for us, he apparently can't hit a barn door when he actually goes to pass or shoot. He's just good at running. Probably why Barcelona got rid of him. Yeah.
You had holding on one of the breaks. Had holding doing really well, slowing him down, and then Leno making a good save. You know, I got to be honest. Okay,
but we were chasing a win. Yeah, if we're a goal up, we're not playing like that. That's the difference, you know. Yeah. So even at 1-0 down, we didn't get to 1-1 and then decide, well, let's take a draw. We were pushing the game to the end, so we didn't really change the way that we're going to play. And that's why I guess they had these opportunities to counterattack, because we were just bombing forward. But yeah, I think that was one little weird silver lining for me, is that even at 1-1, we were happy to risk losing to try to win.
Yeah.
It was nice wasn't it? What's your guys' thoughts on the Doherty injury? We've spoken about that. Screw him. You know, I don't care. You know.
Jason's opinions are not those held by members of all ABW.
Oh, he led with his elbow in my book, Kate. Stuff him. I know. 5 minutes of extra time popped up.
Mm-hmm.
How? How did 5 minutes pop up? You could hear the crowd's reaction.
Well,
you know,
I'll maybe football fans might like to know that when they show that, that's minimum of 5 minutes. That is not a maximum amount of time. It's up to the referee. And also, the board that is shown doesn't really matter because it's down to the referee's discretion. So you can boo and moan all you like. At the end of the day, the booing isn't going to matter. And also, they have to put up the extra time allowed just before the 90 minutes. That's what they're supposed to do. The fact that Doherty's down in that period, him being down for that long, that should have been added on. It wasn't. But it's up to the referee. It's his discretion.
Should there be a minimum of more than 5 minutes? That's the question.
I thought he was down for, 2-3 minutes?
And the time wasting that they had earlier. And
I don't really think they were actually
time-wasting. And you had Xhaka going down. You had Xhaka. Oh, yes, they were time wasting.
No,
come
I don't
on.
Think they were time wasting that much. Oh, I think everyone concentrates and counts every single second. Just
John, are you a closet Wolves fan tonight?
Yeah, no, I am. Now, honestly,
John Welsh, Mr. Unfair to Everyone. Ooh, look
right.
at me.
If that
Ooh,
score
look at
line...
me. I've got a hat on.
If the scoreline's the other way around and they're 1-0 up, no one's saying Wolves are wasting time. It's only because we're losing. So everyone just gets the negative thing.
Well, we were drawing 1-1.
Yeah, we're drawing 1-1 at that time. Yeah, but even when we're losing one, I don't think they're time wasting. But look, if they are, fair enough. Do what you want. Get on with it. It's part of the dark arts. Look, if that's us doing it, I ain't got a problem. I like the fact that Bellerin, like, he knew he weren't going to tackle Traore or keep with him for pace, so he just grabbed his arm and threw him to the floor.
Nice.
Great yellow card. You do these things, you know. No, look, the fourth official has to put up what time is at that point. So 5 minutes, that goes up on the board. Any time that's going on during that or needs to be added
John,
on that's in the injury
John,
time, that's death or
I'm taking a shovel away from you. Stop digging that all.
I'm not digging. People can't be all they like. Look, football fans don't understand. They see that board and they think, oh, it's only 5 minutes. That's minimum amount
Let's go
of time.
To questions. Let's go to questions. Sorry. I'm losing the will to live here. I got to be honest with you. I had Danny and Chris midweek, and I really missed you two guys. Dom, it's just you I missed now.
Look, I listened to Chris midweek, and now I just started carpering it. I can't help it.
Yeah, it's contagious. It's absolutely contagious. Dom, question for you from Simo. Simo A, sorry. Why is Socrates not playing anymore?
Because he was injured. I think that Thursday game... against Sporting was probably his first proper start for a while. And that would probably mean after 90 minutes midweek that he might not have been fit enough to be starting again today. Not only that, I feel like, you know, Mustafi and Holding as a pair hasn't really given too many reasons as to, you know, be dropping one of them. I don't feel that either of them were at fault for anything too major today. So... I don't know. Has it been an issue? I like Socrates. I think he's been quite good. But at the moment, I don't really see too much of an argument to be dropping one of Holding and Mustafi to slide him back in.
Yeah, I mean, you had Mustafi making a goal-saving challenge in the second half.
He did do one slide earlier in the game that I thought he could have almost gave away a penalty or a free kick in a silly spot. But luckily, he didn't make any contact. But other than that one little brain fade that he... has in him, thought he was decent. I thought Holding was very good too.
Yeah. Holding's enjoying the physical battle, isn't he?
Yeah.
He really is at the moment. John, Thomas from Norway asks, should Emery bench underperforming players like Ozil to wake them up?
Yes. I don't have a problem with it. Whether it's Ozil, whether it's Xhaka, Ramsey, you know, whoever. That's fine. I think he's kind of shown that already, that it is kind of meritocracy. There we go.
Meritocracy.
Got there in the end. God, bloody hell, a Welshman corrected me on English. That's terrible. I'm going to get so much stick after the show.
I did enjoy your contribution midweek. Danny, it's morale, not moral.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's really raising the moral of the team. That's not what you mean, is it, Danny? I know what you mean. That's the wrong word.
The problem is, if you correct... If you correct him at the time, he's going to go on forever about it.
Yeah. To answer the question, I do think that's the right thing to do. It's a different approach. You know, he took Iwobi off. He said it was more for tactical reasons, and it made sense. I think, honestly, you could have taken off him or Ozil at that point. I don't think either was playing amazingly. Aubameyang could have been another one as well. So yeah. I just think at the time, most of his decisions or substitutions seem to be done for tactical reasons. Some are certainly done depending on the performances that the players are putting out on the pitch. So, yeah, I'm fairly happy with the way he's sort of treating the team and the players at the moment. No one should be favoured above anyone else. It should all be about your performance.
Okay. Dom, Junior Gunner asks, would you guys take Memphis Depay as a winger? Doing bits for Netherlands and Lyon at the moment. He scored a cracking free kick last night, didn't he?
Yeah, Farmer League, though.
Yeah, well, you know. What can you see in it? Saying it? Yeah, I could score in that league.
Yeah, no problem.
Piece of cake.
It's not really the kind of benchmark that we're after at Arsenal, is it? You know, we're picking up Man United rejects that have dropped down to the feeder league.
Man United rejects scored an equaliser today.
Shh.
Let's not tell anyone.
I'm pretty sure Aubameyang, if that was Harry Kane, he would have claimed that. Aubameyang should have done a Harry there and said, yeah, swear on my daughter's life or whatever it was. Yep, got a nudge on that. Should have just as it went past and claimed it, you know?
It flicked my hair.
Yeah.
It flicked my hair. And to be fair, I'm still, you know, we talk about wingers a lot, okay? But unless you're going to get, if we're going to play everything in front of us, we're not going to use runners entering the box. I see a pointless buying wingers. I really do. I don't think it's going to add that much at the moment. But
I do. I just don't think that we've got a threat to get in behind that gives defences too much of an issue.
Yeah, but okay, getting in behind is fine. But when you cross the ball, if there's nobody entering the box.
Yeah, but if you look at
earlier
in the season, especially where Bellerin was creating all of those chances, they're not crosses, they're cutbacks. And that's what Man City do a lot. Those cutbacks along the ground, they're the ways that we've been scoring a lot of goals. It doesn't have to go in the air. Those cutbacks can be just as devastating, but you need someone in behind almost at the byline to be able to do that. And at the moment, defences don't need to look over their shoulder at anyone running in behind because Mkhitaryan doesn't have the pace on the right-hand side and Iwobi wasn't able to get the ball in behind. And then Aubameyang cuts in. He's not getting down and crossing the ball in a whole lot. I mean, he did for the Ramsey goal, which was great, but against Fulham, that was. But in terms of being able to do it consistently, that's what I noticed Man City do, is they're getting the Silvers and both Silver boys and the De Bruyne's when he's playing, or Sane. They're getting into those little areas and cutting the ball back to the top of the box, and just Aguero or someone there is just slotting the ball away. So that's where I disagree a little bit. I don't necessarily think it has to be old school football where you're just crossing the ball in from really wide and deep and expecting Giroud there to nod it away. I think you can be a little bit more intricate, but you need someone that can make those runs. And the only one that we have is Bellerin.
Okay. Good answer. John, Carlito Alguna asks, is there anyone we should buy in January? Should we buy in January? And if so, who?
Oh, Christ. thanks, Jace.
So, okay, pal?
And thanks, Colito. Wow. Off the top of my head, I haven't got anyone, but I would definitely look at the left-back situation, that's for sure. I'm sure that, you know, Sven Mislintat has probably looked up, you know, who's available from Dortmund, who's in their 30s.
Shinji Kagawa.
I'm not sure he could play left back, but yeah, you never know.
Oh, it was the Polish boy.
Piszczek. Yeah, he plays right back and he can play left. Yeah, he's in his first.
Piszczek will be a...
Yeah. No. All joking aside, I do think left back is an area of the pitch we need to address. Like, Kolasinac looks scary and he likes running forward and he can hit a ball really hard, but I'm not sure he's exactly what we need. Other than that, I don't know. I guess it depends on the assessment with Welbeck's injury, what's happening there. because I do think today would have been a good game for a Welbeck to come on to be honest. I'm not saying he would have completely changed the result, but he offers you something else. So maybe, depending on how bad Danny's injury is, you know, I don't think we've got any news on it yet.
He's not playing the rest of the season, guys.
Oh, I don't think so. And it's obviously, it depends on what happens with his contract and stuff.
Yeah.
But left back's definitely one of the things I'd look at.
Okay, question for the pair of you. Would you, if for argument's sake, Welbeck looks like he's out for the season, it looked like sort of a break and a dislocation or something like that, along those lines, from what we saw.
It's more the ligament damage that's going to be the big issue.
Okay, but would you re-sign him?
I'd have to know how long he's out for.
Yeah, I would know. I need to know more about the injury. But
from my point of view, and if I'm doing it personally on what's best for the club, without being sentimental, then no, I don't re-sign him. I know it's harsh. It's not a nice thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree with John on that. I wouldn't blame the club if they do offer him something, you know, just in terms of, look, if he's happy to sign something that suits the club where, you know, he may pay as he play kind of situation or something like that, just to get him going, that doesn't hamstring us from getting someone else, then I would do that. But just from my understanding and knowledge with injuries and especially that area and what happened, I'm not that optimistic with it, unfortunately.
Okay, I'll stick with you, Dom. Alfredo on Twitter asks, whose ass needs to be kicked to start the match with energy?
I would say the midfield, but also the forwards. And it's very easy for us to single out Ozil every time that we don't play well, isn't it? Because he's on the most money. He's supposed to create everything. But like you said, if there's no movement up there from anyone, then it's difficult for anyone to play well. You know, Aubameyang's not getting the ball. Lacazette had to drop deep and play with his back towards goal. I think that area of the pitch, if we're just a little more frantic and we're a little bit more desperate, I wonder if it is a tactical thing from Emery to start games slow and to control possession and to settle. But it feels like we'd be better off pushing hard for 10 or 15 minutes at the start of a game to unsettle a team. And then potentially if things aren't working or we're conceding too many early chances from doing it, then to kind of take back control and ease off a little bit. But at home against a team like that, you think that it would probably be more beneficial to really try to unsettle them early.
I can't see it being a tactical choice. I really can't. I mean, you know, whatever sport you play, you go out to set the tempo, to control it. You set the agenda. You know, that's what the great teams do. You know, and at the moment, we are more than a little frustrating in this area. But, you know, hey, who knows? John, Loki 73, I've saved this especially for you after your last question, okay? Especially for you. How long do we have to wait for Ozil? How many times have we asked this question?
You've done that on purpose. Lovely. Look, I don't know. I'm probably Ozil's biggest critic on here. I'm not particularly nice about the guy. I think when he's on it, he's amazing, and he can be. I just don't think he gives consistent enough performances. That is my issue with him. For me, if there wasn't, it's annoying because there's the international break now. I kind of wish that there was a game like in a couple of days that was important, like in the league or something, and I'd drop him. You know, and I like the fact that Emery is prepared to do that kind of thing. You know, send a message to him saying, no, you didn't play well enough. You're getting subbed in a game, or you're not starting, or, you know, you're not too big to come on in the Europa League game. We're already winning. The issue we've got with Ozil is that he's got a very cushy contract that he got out of us for a lot of money, and there is no way in hell that we'd be able to sell him or get that kind of money. So, you know, which is true. Who else is going to pay Mesut Ozil?
I'm just laughing at the amount of takers there were last time, you know, and You know, where you say drop him, will he be dropped every other game?
Yeah.
You know, he puts in one great performance, then he drops off for two.
Yeah. I do agree with some of the things Dom said in the past, though. He is a little bit of, you know, as good as he is a player, he does need the team around him to perform as well. Yeah. You know, he does need the movement and he does need that kind of thing. He's not a David Silva who can create something on his own, or a Kevin De Bruyne, that kind of thing. You know, that's the thing. And Carlito, you're right. I am hard on Ozil and I am softer on Ramsey, because everyone has their favourites. And I've freely admitted that. I'm always softer on Ramsey than I am on Ozil.
But this is the thing, isn't it? This is the thing, okay? If you go to City, the star man's Aguero. Mm. He piles in the goals. If it's the Spuds, it's you know, the dribbler.
Yeah.
If it's Chelsea, it's Eden Hazard who scores goals. If it's Barcelona, Real Madrid, you know, you know who the star men are each time, and they normally pile in with goals. For Mesut Ozil, being a creator, you know, you have to be creating to be able to justify that star billing and those wages. And
even if he is creating, then he's still relying on someone else to put it in the back of the net.
Yeah.
So. See, that's what I've said before with Ozil, and I find this interesting when you think about it like this. He's one of the only players I know that could be slated for a performance or being given man of the match dependent on the quality of his teammates.
Yeah.
So he could create five chances, we score five goals, he gets five assists, man of the match.
I think if
he creates
four
or five chances, they miss them all, and everyone thinks that he didn't do anything. So it is interesting that you bring that up, because it is true. You know, like, I genuinely believe that he's not putting in enough effort consistently. Like, there's no getting away from that. I think Emery's even kind of, you know, as we've spoken about before, previously, where they had a little bit of a disagreement. And I think that's probably where Emery's coming from, is just work harder and a lot of those frustrations don't exist, because that's how you get yourself into the game. Or if you can't contribute because the attacking play is not working, at least do something on the other end, you know, to contribute.
I think if you look at this game in isolation in terms of Ozil's performance, I'm not picking out on him because I don't think the team played well. You know, it's not just him that's at fault today, it's the whole team. And obviously Xhaka's at fault for the one instance that leads to the goal. Sorry, I say the whole team, everyone but Leno, I should say, realistically.
Thank you.
Because he was superb. But yeah, Ozil needs to do more. But yeah, the club they put themselves in this situation with the contract and everything else he's got. So I don't know. It's down to the managers to get the performances out of him. I'd love it to be old school, like back in the day where, you know, if a player really wasn't doing well, you could just stick him in the reserves for a year or whatever. But you can't stick Mesut Ozil in the reserves for a year on 300 and whatever grand a week, you know.
Yeah, those days are gone, aren't they? Dom, Nicky Wilson asks, should we keep Aubameyang or Lacazette on the bench to have someone good to bring on?
It seemed to work, didn't it, earlier in the season? Where Aubameyang's coming on and scoring, and Lacazette was coming on and scoring, and the balance, it does seem to be either play the two up front or only play one of them if you're going to play three. So yeah, probably. I keep coming back to, what are you going to do on that right hand side though?
Yeah, I don't think Mkhitaryan's the only option, to be honest with you. He seems to do better when he's out there, even though he's hot and cold. John, similar question. What from Unique 79? What do we do about Aubameyang and Lacazette? We have two of a few potent strikers in the whole of Europe, but we are not utilising them properly. How should Emery work around this problem?
There's only two options for this for me personally, and it sort of goes back to the question that Dom just answered as well. You either find a system where you can play both of them up front. What that system is or how you work that, I have no idea. That's for the managers to work out. I'm not that clever. If I was, I'd probably be a football manager. And congratulations to a certain Chris Carpenter today. You got a semi finally, so his missus is very happy. No, I mean in the cup.
it's the first semi she's seen.
Yeah. So you either find a system in which both of them can play up front. I don't want one of them playing wide. Maybe one of them plays a little bit off or behind, you know, that kind of thing. Which then means what do you do with Ozil and everything else? But that's a separate question. Or you play one up front and one sits on the bench, and you just have to rotate and bring one on for the other or whatever. And it's whoever's playing best. And that's just it. It's tough.
Yeah. This is the thing, though. We don't play to accommodate Aubameyang's greatest strength, which is his pace. You know, we're not playing that kind of game, which you know, obviously affects how he's able to perform. But it's frustrating, isn't it? It's very frustrating. I'm going to answer the next one. Neil Vergela asks, John, are you going to defend Bournemouth in the next game like you did the Wolves today? Neil, he'll defend anybody other than the Arsenal. You know what he's like, okay? He's just a terrible man, okay? He has no loyalty. He's a disgrace to the shirt. Look at him wearing that ABW Live shirt. Look at him. He's disgraced it today. John, shame on you.
Well, look, I'm kissing the badge.
All right, as Thierry said, I'm no badge kisser.
I'm all about balance, Neil. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, you are. Tom, Carlito Alguna asks, do you really think we have the depth to finish top four or win the trophy?
If we get a good run with injuries, which so far we probably haven't, to be honest, maybe. I feel like it's going to be one of those seasons where we're going to be looking at other teams to drop points. I don't think we're going to be able to get there on our own, if that makes sense. We're going to need some help and some luck. I still think we can get fourth. I looked at the table before this game. I threw a little tweet out saying that this was a game that kind of worried me a little bit in terms of our overall situation in the table, where had we lost this game, where, you know, we're 4 points off the top four all of a sudden. And some of those teams haven't necessarily been playing that well to be where they are. So if they hit a bit of a patch of form, we could find ourselves playing catch up very quickly and losing touch very quickly. So probably a good time for the international break to come into it. So Emery's got a bit of time to reset things a little bit again. And I mean, keeping in mind, we're undefeated for quite a few games now.
This is our 10th Premier League game undefeated.
So it's okay. Not, you know, and these other teams will have the banana peel slip ups too. You know, it's going to happen. So do we have the depth? I'm not sure, unless we get lucky with injuries.
I see this as slightly differently. Okay. If you look at our bench today, you had Mkhitaryan, you had Ramsey, you had Cech, you had Guendouzi on there. Okay. I think Socrates is on the bench as well, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think we got the depth. I think this is more going to rely on how quickly Emery learns to get the best out of a few individual players. He has to be getting more of Ozil. You look at it will be today, you know, he's shown some really good form this season. He was always going to come up against a brick wall sooner or later. Yeah, that's one of the tougher games he'll have. Not a problem. He'll be okay. Aubameyang, we need to get more out of. You know, bearing in mind the amount of goals he scored last month, we have been getting quite a lot out of him, albeit from the bench. Ramsey, we need to get more of him when he comes on. Guendouzi, he's on a learning curve. This is going to be totally reliant on the manager. He's playing a different system to what we were last season, so he has to learn how to incorporate these guys and get more out of them and, you know, improve us defensively as well. I think that's the big key question here. What do you think?
I don't think I actually don't think we've got the depth. You look at centre mid. If one of Torreira or Xhaka gets injured, you're bringing in Guendouzi. He's keener to bring on Guendouzi in that position than he is Ramsey, and it's a young kid. I think the loss of Welbeck is bigger than perhaps people realise. Dom's already spoken about our problems with who's playing either side of Lacazette. Aubameyang will work in some games, but I don't think he's going to work in all of them. And we've clearly got an issue at fullback as well. You know, I don't think we've got a left back other than Monreal, to be honest. Kalashnik is okay in certain games, but I don't think he's going to be good enough in others. So I do think there's a long way to go. But again, you know, it's it's very early into his Arsenal career. He's had not really had a transfer window as such, you know, to sort things out. And it normally takes two or three to get the squad where a manager wants it.
That's fair enough. I'm going to come back to Dom on this. Lonzo Spencer asks, it's the final question. I'm going to go around us all on it, but I'm going to start with Dom. Hi guys, what's your opinion on Iwobi being subbed off instead of Xhaka, and why did he sub in Guendouzi instead? Why can't we drop Xhaka? I think he makes far too many mistakes, in my opinion.
Well, I think he only made one, to be honest. I don't think... I mean, you look at towards the end of the game, he made this really good driving run into the box, held off a player and crossed the ball around as well. Like, I think one mistake in the game is now turned into he played poorly, you know, where 100% cost us a goal. That one that they have on their scoreline is down to him, in my opinion. But, you know, that's the thing. Emery's not sat there looking, going, well, he made a mistake, therefore I'm gonna hook him. He's looking at the overall balance and decided that he wanted three like midfield players to come in to control that area because we were getting overrun. And he obviously decided that he needed that sort of bulk up in the midfield. So, you know, taking off Iwobi to put two up front because we weren't using width anyway. I feel like it was the right call. What do you think? Do you think that it was... I thought that it changed the game in a positive way for us. So I don't really know how it's looked at as a negative.
He's looking at it tactically, isn't he? You know, whatever individual opinions are, okay, Unai's decided that this is the style he's going to play and that Xhaka and Torreira are integral to that. Whether or not Xhaka makes a mistake or not, you know, I mean, the goal, yeah, that's down to him, in my opinion, okay? But the bottom line is... His distribution of the ball is important to the style that Emery wants to play. Now, if his distribution is affected by movement further up the pitch, that's not on Xhaka. I thought our movement further up the pitch is poor today. But he has to be true to his ambition in the way the team wants to play. And Xhaka and Torreira are integral to that. So... whether no matter how we see it panning out, and trust me, you know, everybody knows I love Aaron Ramsey, but he doesn't fit the style that Emery wants to play. And there's nothing you can do about that. And, you know, it's fine. It's Unai's team. His job relies on the performances. We've eked out a draw when we probably didn't deserve it. That's, you know, I hate to say that. I like being one-eyed, but... you know, I don't think Xhaka was terrible today. I don't think he was great. But a lot of that has to do with the movement the further up the pitch. John, your thoughts?
I got why he did the sub. I thought Guendouzi coming on made sense. We were struggling midfield to keep the ball. They needed a little bit more help as well in terms of, you know, Wolves are obviously going to try and sit back even more and then hit on the break, and they wanted that kind of thing. Putting two up made Wolves have to defend slightly differently, and it obviously affected the game and we got a lot more pressure without necessarily creating too many chances. In terms of Xhaka, just, you know, why can't he be dropped? I think he can, and I think we've seen, you know, Emery is willing to drop players, but he clearly trusts Xhaka in what he does on the pitch. And I think he's our only midfielder who... it's not like he dictates a play. I don't know. It's just something about his passing and the diagonals and what he offers. He's the most experienced player we've got to play in there. Look, I love Torreira. I think he's a great player. And, you know, he comes from my stupid league that I watch all the time in Italy that everyone takes the mickey out of me for. Not as bad as the Farmer League in France, obviously. You know, but he's still only 21. He's got a lot to learn. Guendouzi is from the Farmers League, so he's obviously not as good as Torreira. have that carp enough. but, you know, he's a young kid. He's got a lot to learn as well. So he's going to stick with Xhaka. And this is, for all the Arsene Wenger fans who also hated Xhaka, well, Xhaka was Wenger's favourite. You know, he was always in the team. He always played him, you know. Emery's come in. Yep, Xhaka's my man. He's playing. He's one of my captains. what he does on the pitch is great. I love it, you know. He's messed up today. He turned over the ball a lot in the first half as well, which was bad. Marquis Hodges puts it right. Xhaka had more turnovers than a bakery in the first half. Spot on. Absolutely spot on. Second half, he was much better. But I think the team overall, you know, was not very good in the first half. And I think part of that is down to us and our performance, and part of that is down to Wolves. So you're not going to get Xhaka dropped from the team until we buy another centre midfielder who is in the 25 to 28 years old range and got a lot of experience, because we just don't have the players to play there. You want to play Torreira and Guendouzi? I'm not too excited by that, I'll be honest. That's seriously risky. I like both of them, but that's a big ask. So
you look at it, even with Xhaka, everything's in front of you. You know what I mean? With Guendouzi, and you know, Guendouzi likes a few touches at the moment. He's learning, you know.
He's a bit late on some of his tackles as well in some of the areas of the pitch, you know. It's because he's a young guy, and that's the sort of thing they'll learn. But until we get another experienced centre mid, you're not going to see Xhaka drop from the team. It is the sort of the short of it, really.
Yeah, there you go. That's it for today. You know, like, it's a frustrating day. That's the way it goes now and again. We got the international break, so we're taking a break for a couple of weeks. I haven't done the lineups yet for the Bournemouth game. There's a podcast next week. I've no idea who's on it because Danny just can't be bothered. Now, funny enough, Unique79 just said, "Tappy, tappy, do it for Jace." That's right. I got 92 likes. You're taking the mickey, aren't you? I'm 8 short of 100. Let's get going. Come on, come on, come to daddy. Give me some likes. Let's have a go. You know, stop messing about. Don't be like the Arsenal today. Don't be under par. Don't be undercooked. Give me some likes. Let's go. Chop, chop. It is Remembrance Sunday. So let's be honest, guys, there's more important things than football. Okay? You know, around the world, people are remembering those who've served their countries and fallen in a foreign field, etc. It's, you know, it's a sad day all round. And so, you know, worse things can happen than a draw in a football game. Remember Movember for Ellis Mel. Okay. Ellis is doing it on behalf of ABW. He's trying to raise some money for men's health issues. So if we can keep an eye on that, that would be superb. If you're doing anything to raise money for any charity, to be fair, let us know. We'll retweet it. We'll try our best to support you. You know, we do our best on that. Mental health's a big part of the Movember thing. So, like, if you're struggling and you're going through tough times, have a chat with somebody. Think about it, you know. There are worse things in life than football, guys. So just take care of yourselves. My thanks to John. John, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'd just like to echo what Jay said. If any of you are struggling, in particular with mental health, please feel free to give me a tweet or a DM or whatever. My DMs are open. It's something I've been struggling with for years, and I'm quite happy to talk about it in the open and everything, because I know it's got a lot of stigma attached to it. But yeah, there's always there people there to listen. So just drop me a line if you ever need anything, guys.
Yeah, another place to all of us. You know, we're always welcome. You know, you guys are good enough to support us. So, you know, it's a two-way street. We're always there to support you as well. Yeah, my thanks.
Just a little private message to Chris Carpenter. Cavani is currently 2-0 up against Monaco. Not PSG, Cavani is 2-0 up. So, you know, he's terrible as well, isn't he, Chris? Sorry.
Neymar's blank, John.
Oh, I don't even start me on Neymar.
Oh, Neymar's still rolling about somewhere, isn't he? Dom, my thanks to you.
Thank you.
You're a rock star. And you wear a hat better than John as well.
Wow. Just because he's got fancy hair that you can have, like, showing out of it. I can't do that with mine.
Well, yeah, what can I say? I've still only got 96 likes. This chat box is winding me up. It's winding me up. What do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Yeah, look, guys, thank you for having the chat box. Superb has always been some interesting discussion there. Some interesting points of view, some really funny things as well. Well done. Thank you for your support. If you're listening on any other platform and you want to join the chat, subscribe to the YouTube channel, click on the bell icon, and you will be notified when we go live. To those of you listening on other formats, thank you ever so much. We really, really appreciate it. We appreciate everyone's support. We've got time to cool off now with the international break. We're back for Bournemouth. Look out for next week's podcast. And thank you ever so much. John, switch this off.